a landlocked country. But every inch of land opens up chapters of history that the world has forgotten. Underground, a labyrinth was quietly dug 21 meters deep by a single person over 23 years. On the windy plateau, an observatory older than Stonehenge points straight up to the sky, as if in dialogue with the universe. A dark prison that once held a man, but changed the fate of an entire nation. Armenia, the land that whispers seven. 000 years of secrets through rocks, mountains, and stories that no one believes are true. Yerevan. To understand Armenia, to really feel its pulse, we must start where it all comes together. Yerevan. For thousands of years, Armenia has lived at the crossroads of Persian, Roman, Byzantine, Arab, Mongol, Ottoman, Russian empires, each rising and falling while this small land quietly endures. Armenians often say that their history is older than their grief, and older than the maps that tried to erase them. This is a country that has survived invasions, earthquakes, occupations, and even genocide, yet somehow preserved a language, an alphabet, beliefs, and a cultural identity so distinctive that you can recognize it by a melody or a stone pattern. Each layer of archaeology reveals a mystery. Wine presses older than the pyramids, leather shoes crafted before the first laws of humanity. Yerevan, Advi, 800-year-old city, the oldest continuously inhabited city on Earth. A city built of pink volcanic rock, glowing at dawn as if lit from within. A place where Soviet-era boulevards run alongside Bronze Age fortresses, where underground taverns are hidden beneath streets that have seen more revolutions than most countries in a millennium. And this is where our journey truly begins. Erebani Fortress, built in 782 BC by King Argishti I of the Kingdom of Urartu, is not only the birthplace of Yerevan, it is also one of the oldest inhabited urban centers on Earth. Standing on these rocks, you feel something extraordinary, a stillness, yet a weight. It is as if the earth remembers the footsteps of soldiers, merchants and scholars who lived nearly 3,000 years ago. The walls, rebuilt by archaeologists, but still bearing the original Urartian inscriptions. Recall Erebuni's time as a strategic fortress protecting the Ararat Plain. The Urartians carved their city with mathematical precision, aligning temples and palaces with the path of the sun, almost as if the architecture itself were a form of prayer. Among the ruins are traces of wine cellars, granaries, ceremonial halls, and vibrant murals, the reds and blues still faint despite the passing of centuries. These pigments are among the oldest surviving murals in the entire Caucasus. Republic Square, the beating heart of Yevren. At first glance, the square appears majestic with its massive government buildings, vast facades, and Soviet-style symmetry. But what makes it unforgettable is the pink tufa, a volcanic gift that shines differently at different hours of the day. In the morning, the stones glow a soft pink, like soft rose petals. As dusk falls, they turn a warm amber. At night, illuminated fountains dance across their surfaces, making the entire square sparkle like molten gold. This tufa stone is Armenia's signature visual signature. Soft enough to carve intricate patterns, yet durable enough to last centuries, it bears microscopic traces of ancient eruptions. A reminder that the city was literally born of fire. The Cascade Complex is more than just a staircase. It's a path that climbs the hillside, turning the climb into a cinematic experience. As you take your first steps, waterfalls and steps stretch out all around you, decorated with sculptures by international artists. At the top of the grand staircase stands a Soviet-era monument commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Armenian SSR, a stark contrast to the contemporary art museum located below. This mix of old and new, tension and harmony, reflects Armenia itself, always moving forward, but never leaving the past behind. Mother Armenia. On the hill of Victory Park, away from the hustle and bustle of Yerevan, the statue of Mother Armenia stands silently watching over the city. She does not have the softness of traditional statues. Her face is stern, her sword is firmly held, her figure is straight as a landmark. She was erected in 1967, replacing the previous statue of Stalin, but people quickly saw her as their own symbol, a protective mother, not an image of any regime. From the base of the statue, all of Yerevan opens up below. Avenues, squares, pink tufa roofs, and small streets that connect like the veins of a living body. On clear days, Ararat is also visible on the horizon, and the statue's gaze seems to be directed toward that mountain, calm but steadfast. The pedestal below is a military museum. Artifacts, images, and debris from war lie in the shadows, reminders of the sacrifices Armenia has made. But stepping outside and looking up at the face of Mother Armenia, the feeling is different. Not somber, not lamenting, but a strength forged over generations. Yerevan people say she doesn't stand there. She watches. A witness of steel and stone, representing the resilience of a people who have always learned to stand up, no matter how many times they are tested. The sacred underground of Levon. In a quiet neighborhood on the outskirts of Yerevan, there is a door that leads not to a house, but to a legend. The sacred underground of Levon, a labyrinth dug into the earth by a single man using only hand tools, sheer willpower, and an almost sacred devotion. For 23 years, Levon spent his nights digging. No machines, no blueprints. Just a hammer, a chisel, and a belief he never fully explained. His wife had simply asked for a small potato cellar. What he created instead was a 70-foot slope into the volcanic rock, a network of chambers, tunnels, and niches that seemed to grow more by instinct than logic. Garni Temple. Garni towers on the cliffs above the Azat Valley, the last remaining pagan temple in Armenia. Before Christian churches dotted the mountains, before monks carved sanctuaries into the rock, this was the heart of Armenia's pre-Christian world. The temple, built in the 1st century AD, blends Greek elegance with Armenian identity, Ionic columns, basalt blocks, and carvings of pomegranates, vines, and royal emblems. Earthquakes, invasions, forced conversions. But Garni survives, rebuilt stone by stone from the fragments. The atmosphere here is different from that of Armenia's monasteries. Standing on the steps, the valley opens up before you. Rugged cliffs, the river in the distance, the faint echo of birds circling the gorge. Garni doesn't demand reverence, it piques curiosity. It reveals a version of Armenia that is often forgotten, a land of sun temples, sky worship, and early astronomy, where architecture blends with light and seasons. Garni Gorge. A short, steep path from the temple leads you to a world shaped by fire and time. The symphony of stones rises like a wave of frozen geometry, with towering basalt columns, perfectly hexagonal, stacked with the precision of a sculptor who never makes a mistake. The cliffs rise vertically in harmony, their dark surfaces catching the shifting light. Deep into the gorge, a strange experience unfolds. Wind flows through the columns in narrow crevices, creating a murmur that locals call the Song of the Gorge. The narrow path below adds a second rhythm, weaving footsteps into the basalt as if keeping time. Together, they turn the gorge into a living concert hall, one that has performed for thousands of years without an audience, without applause. Geghard Monastery. The road from Garni leads up to higher, colder air, ending in a narrow valley protected by cliffs. Here lies the Geghard Monastery, a holy place half built in stone, half carved directly into the mountain. The moment you step inside, the temperature drops, the light softens, and a silence wraps around you like a cloak. Geghard dates back to the 4th century and is associated with a powerful legend. It once protected the Holy Lance, the spear that is said to have pierced Christ's side. Whether truth or belief, the story clings to the stones in the candlelit rooms hand-carved into the mountain. You feel an ancient, gentle, persistent, all-encompassing attraction. Many filmmakers describe Geghard as a breathing space, perfect for a quiet moment in the emotional range of a documentary. The monastery is not overwhelming. It invites contemplation. Outside, the valley narrows into sharp ledges and cold darkness. Inside, the walls glow dimly in the glimmer of light. This is one of the few places where Armenia's spiritual history remains intact, preserved not by renovations, but by the mountain itself. Dilijan National Park. Dilijan is often called the Switzerland of Armenia, but the nickname belies the strangeness that makes this land so special. The mountains of Dilijan unfold not in a straight line, but in steps, as if the terrain itself were layered into a story. The sheer cliffs split the valley in two, each rock face a different color. At higher elevations, clouds pour into the ravines, swallowing the horizon and turning the area into a sea of silent mist. The forest gives life to the place. Workers say that sometimes, in the late afternoon, Eurasian lynx appear briefly between the old oaks, silent, alert, a part of the wild memory of this land. Winding paths lead to Lake Pars, a mirror of silence among the trees. But the villagers know it not as a tourist destination, but as a place where families once picked berries and herbs for the winter. Today, Dilijan looks peaceful, but its traditions were shaped by communities that learned to rely on the land rather than on kingdoms or empires. Just outside the park is Fiolatovo, the Malokan village, one of Armenia's rarest cultural enclaves. The Molokans are spiritual Russian dissidents who fled persecution centuries ago. They still dress as if they were in the 19th century, speak old Russian, drink tea brewed in samovars, and reject modern technology. Visiting this village feels like stepping into another world, a reminder that Armenia has long been a refuge for those trying to preserve their way of life. Goshavank and Hag Hartson. In the mountains above Dilijan, two monasteries were once the intellectual centers of medieval Armenia. Goshavank, named after the scholar Mekhitar Gosh, was more than just a monastery. It was also a legal and literary center. Here, scholars wrote manuscripts that helped codify Armenian law. Many nations have inscribed power in palaces. Armenia has inscribed it in books. Nearby, Hag Hartson, nestled in a forested valley, has a quieter but equally significant story. During the invasion, monks hid cultural treasures in the surrounding forests. The complex became a mecca of knowledge. Teachers, students, and wandering preachers all passed through its courtyards. Rather than being overwhelmed by architecture, the essence of both monasteries lies in their purpose. Their walls protected Armenian identity when armies could not. For a documentary, these sites serve as a bridge. From the spiritual devotion of the previous chapters to the intellectual resilience that helped Armenia overcome centuries of foreign domination. Debid Gorge. Northern Armenia feels like a different country. The air is cooler, the slopes steeper, and at the foot of it all is Debid Gorge, a verdant corridor where medieval Armenia built some of its most iconic structures. Senahin and Hagbat, 2019. twin monasteries recognized by UNESCO as centers of engineering, philosophy, and manuscript science. Their builders chose locations high on the cliffs, not only for defense, but also for visibility. Anyone passing through the gorge will see the monasteries first, signaling a land rich in culture, not just territory. The domes are intertwined with precision. Domes that have withstood storms from the north. These are more than just religious structures. They are a testament to resilience. The gorge itself tells the story. Waterfalls cut through basalt walls. Narrow roads open up into occasional meadows, and villages cling to the ridges as if they have been there for hundreds of years. Life here requires adaptation. Roads twist and turn along precipices, where one wrong step can lead to the river below. Gyumri looks different from any other city in Armenia. While Yerevan is awash in pink, Gyumri is built from black volcanic tuff, giving its streets a bold edge, earning it the nickname the Black City. The juxtaposition of modernity and antiquity belies a city that once thrived as a center of crafts and comedy. But Gyumri's story bears a scar. In 1988, a massive earthquake struck the area and destroying much of the city. Scattered throughout the old town, you can still find relics of that moment frozen in time, crumbling walls standing like broken teeth, staircases leading nowhere, and a rusty iron fountain in a quiet courtyard. Once a source of neighborhood pride, now disfigured and abandoned. But when you talk to people today, they rarely start with tragedy. They talk about rebuilding. They told of neighbors coming together to clean up the rubble, of musicians playing in the ruined squares to keep spirits up, of craftsmen carving new doors and windows long before the government could help. Gyumri has an ancient spirit, but refuses to succumb to grief. Dominating Gyumri, the Church of Christ the Savior stands tall, like a survivor carved from the darkness. Built in the 19th century, the church's black and orange tough walls glow differently depending on the hour of the day, somber at dusk, radiant at dawn. Once inspired by the great Church of Ani, the church is said to be a symbol of faith, perseverance, and the Armenian spirit that stretches across the highlands. In the churchyard, a simple memorial now commemorates the victims of that day, a statue carved from stone, head bowed, arms raised, as if supporting the memory of the city. Flowers, candles, and handwritten notes are often placed at its feet. Small prayers, expressions of love and loss. After decades of restoration, the Church of Christ the Savior is once again standing. Its restored facade doesn't hide its past. Step inside, and you can feel the echoes of both decay and rebirth, a reminder that Gyumri's story is a quiet force that follows. Noravank. The road to Noravank feels like an introduction. The gorge narrows, the cliff rises, and suddenly the rock turns a fiery red. At the end of this winding road is a monastery that looks more pre-laid than built, as if the architects were taking instructions from the landscape itself. Noravank's story is tied to the Orbelian family, a powerful medieval family that supported scholars, artists, and stone carvers. One of them, the sculptor Momik, left his mark throughout the complex. Delicate reliefs, expressive faces, and Kachkar statues carved with almost devotional patience. People come here for the architecture, but what makes Noravank unforgettable is its setting. On the cliffs near the monastery, Bezoar ibex, native mountain goats with long, curved horns, often appear in the early morning or late afternoon. They stand on narrow ledges, leisurely, as if the rugged terrain is their natural home. These wild inhabitants help make one thing clear. Noravank is not just a human legacy, but also a place where the natural world plays an equal role. At sunset, the cliffs glow orange, and the monastery stands in that light, quiet and focused, as if continuing a ritual that has lasted for centuries. Ruins of Zvartnots Cathedral. The ruins of Zvartnots rise from the plains of Ararat like the skeleton of a fallen miracle. Built in the 7th century, this three-story circular cathedral once captivated the medieval world with its soaring domes and intricate stone carvings. An architectural vision said to have been inspired by heavenly angels, as its name suggests. But an earthquake in the 10th century destroyed it. Today, only fragments remain. Pillars snapped in half, capitals collapsed, and stones scattered like shards of a forgotten crown. But even in ruins, Zvartnots still feels incredibly majestic. Standing in the middle of its bare floor, you'll see Mount Ararat perfectly outlined in the distance, as if the cathedral was built to commute with the mountain itself. Arini 1 Cave. At first glance, Arini 1 Cave appears unassuming, a dark crevice above a quiet valley. But inside, archaeologists have discovered something extraordinary. The world's oldest winery, dating back more than 100 years. Clay pots, grape seeds, wine presses, and wine bowls suggest that people here knew about fermentation long before the pyramids were built. Deep inside, researchers found a leather shoe more than 500 years old, preserved by the dry climate and thick grass. It fits the foot of a modern woman. This cave challenges a common assumption that ancient life was primitive. Here, it's clear that early Armenians experimented, made, tasted, and recorded their world through practice rather than writing. Tatev Monastery and Tatev Wings. A journey in the sky. Getting to the Tatev Monastery used to mean climbing steep, treacherous paths. Today, you can glide through the sky on the Tatev Wings, one of the world's longest non-stop cable cars. The ride only takes a few minutes, but the story goes that villagers once walked for hours to reach this cliffside monastery, bringing offerings, books, and news from distant towns. Tatev itself sits on the edge of the Vorotan Gorge, where the land suddenly drops into a giant stone chasm. The monastery became a major center of learning in the 14th and 15th centuries, home to scholars who wrote manuscripts, charted the stars, and debated philosophy under its domes. Their work helped shape medieval Armenian thought. Earthquakes, invasions, and isolation never erased Tatevi. Its cliffs protected it from armies, and the surrounding mountains shielded it from the noise of the world. The result is a complex that feels solid, disciplined, and purposeful. The cable car and the monastery create a natural contrast. One represents modern technology and tourism. The other represents centuries of study and spirituality. Together, they show how Armenia carries its past forward. Sometimes slowly on foot, sometimes dramatically through the air. Kanzoresk Cave Village. On the eastern slopes of Armenia lies Kanzoresk, a village carved into a maze of cave dwellings. For centuries, families have lived in more than 400 houses carved from rock, raising children, storing crops, and holding gatherings within the hand-hewn walls. This isn't ancient history. People lived here until the mid-20th century. Life in Kanzoresk was harsh but inventive. Residents expanded their caves into multi-room houses, connecting rooms with tunnels and building wooden balconies at the entrances. The layout evolved organically, shaped by need rather than design. Oral stories tell of nights lit by oil lamps and winters survived by community cooperation. Today, the new village sits across a canyon from the old one. A 160-meter suspension bridge now connects the two villages, gentle underfoot, swaying gently with each step, offering a moment of adventure as the gorge widens below. Crossing the bridge is symbolic, one end anchored to the present, the other to a way of life that disappeared just a few generations ago. Mount Ararat dominates the horizon, its two snow-capped peaks rising above the plains with an almost majestic stillness. From Yerevan, on clear days, Ararat appears like a bright wall standing apart from the world, a silhouette so familiar that no one calls it the mountain anymore. Every Armenian grows up with this silhouette. It appears in paintings, embroidery, textbooks, family stories. Yet the mountain itself lies outside the modern borders of Armenia, in the territory of Turkey. The year-round snow makes it look still, but the emotions it evokes are anything but still. For Armenians, Ararat is like a silent witness to generations gone by. A piece of heritage placed outside the borders, but never erased from consciousness. In the skies above Ararat, the imperial eagle sometimes appears, circling in great circles, before disappearing into the light. In the Caucasus, the bird has long been seen as a sign of strength and survival. Its presence reminds us that this is not just a land of history, but also a place where nature still keeps its sentinels aloft, as free, independent, and resilient as the Armenian spirit itself. Odzun Monastery. High above the vast Lori Gorge, Odzun Monastery stands like a stone sentinel guarding centuries of wind, war, and worship. Built between the 5th and 7th centuries, it is one of Armenia's oldest surviving basilicas. Its pink tuff walls glowing softly at dawn, as if lit from within. Odzun is quiet, but never deserted. The monastery's courtyard holds a rare pair of 6th century obelisks carved with biblical scenes and ancient funerary symbols. The stones seemingly a bridge between the worlds of the living and the dead. Come closer and you'll notice the arches and pillars carry a precision far beyond their time, arranged so perfectly that they feel led rather than built. The ruins of Ani. Ani was once the pride of the medieval Armenian kingdom, a city so teeming with churches, monasteries, and academies that historians called it the City of One. 01 Churches. Merchants crossed stone bridges, scholars argued in courtyards, and the city walls stretched across the plateau like a fortress carved for giants. Today, Ani lies within the borders of Turkey, along the closed border with Armenia. For this documentary, Ani is not a destination we actually visit. It is a chapter we recall through archival footage, historical drawings, and 3D reconstructions. At its peak, Ani rivaled the great cities of the region. Then invasions, earthquakes, and shifting trade routes pushed it to the brink of decline. Villages disappeared, churches emptied, and the wind became the last inhabitants of the plateau. Yet the ruins remain. Domes still tower against the sky. Frescoes cling to crumbling walls, and the Ani Church continues to anchor the landscape with surprising grace. Korvirap. Korvirap lies quietly on the plains of Ararat, but its story has shaped an entire nation. This small monastery marks the place where Saint Gregory the Illuminator was imprisoned for 13 years in a deep stone pit. The king who ordered his imprisonment believed that Gregory's faith was a threat. Instead, the decision sparked a change. Later, when the king fell gravely ill, Gregory was freed in desperation. According to tradition, his prayers restored the king's health and paved the way for Armenia to adopt Christianity as the state religion in 301 AD. As you descend the narrow ladder into the pit where Gregory was held, the space becomes brutally simple. Stone walls, cramped floors, and barely any room to move. The chapel above ground stands silent and unadorned. Its shape doesn't attempt to tell the story. It lets the event speak for itself. It's the beginning of Armenia's religious identity, a king who changed course, and a nation that rebuilt its faith at the same time. For Armenians, Korvirap is the beginning, not just of a religion, but of a cultural identity that has endured invasions, repressions, and shifting borders all around. Lake Sevan sits more than 900 meters above sea level, a vast expanse of deep blue water surrounded by mountains and meadows. Generations of Armenians have called it the Sea of the Land, a place of renewal in the summer and reflection in the cold months. Life around Sevan thrived on fishing, trade routes, and seasonal gatherings long before tourism. Across the water is Sevanavank. Once a hermitage for monks, two black stone churches were built on an original island. Long before Soviet-era engineering lowered the water level, the monks chose this place for its isolation, discipline, and fresh mountain air. Their days revolved around prayer, writing, and manual labor. Simple habits that left a surprisingly lasting mark. Savannavank's appeal lies not in its grandeur. It lies in the contrast between the solid black stone and the open, sparkling lake. The monastery feels solid, while everything around it changes with the weather and light. Ambered Fortress. On the slopes of Mount Aragats, Ambered Fortress sits at an altitude of 2,300 meters, where mountain winds wash away all noise from the valley below. It is often referred to as the Villa in the Clouds. Built between the 7th and 11th centuries, Ambered served as both a military defense and a seasonal residence for noble families. Its architecture was practical. Thick basalt walls, narrow passageways, rooms designed to withstand sieges and winter storms. During medieval conflicts, Ambered's remote location gave it a strategic advantage. When enemies advanced across the plains, residents retreated to the heights. The height of the fortress was not symbolic, but survivalist. Today, much of Ambered is in ruins, but the building still carries the idea of permanence. Armenia is often introduced through chronology, legends, and monuments, but each place you have just passed shows otherwise. History here is not safe. It lives on in the language, in the mountaintops that have seen generations, and in the people who have kept their identity despite all the upheavals. Thank you for accompanying us on this journey, a land where memories are seen, beliefs have form, and time leaves clear traces in every layer of stone and every story. See you again on the next step of the exploration.